Karen Cox is an actress, producer, and transgender advocate. She's currently appearing in the new Susan Seidelman film, Musical Chairs. Hi, Laverne.
Hello, Charlotte. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm awesome. Awesome, awesome.
Tell us about the new film, Musical Chairs.
Musical Chairs is a film about love. It's a film about family, specifically a Latino family, and it's a film about dance. And the love of dance. Mia is a young woman from the Upper East Side who's a professional ballroom dancer and gets into a car accident and loses the use of her legs. She becomes paralyzed. And this guy named Armando falls in love with her and tries to help her restore her love of dance, even though she can't walk anymore, through this beautiful sport and art called wheelchair ballroom dancing. And it's really a film about, in life, we get things that are unexpected for us, and opportunities come to us in ways that we don't always expect. Do we have the courage to take those opportunities? It's really what it's about. It's about wheelchair ballroom dancing. I play Chantel, who's one of the patients in the rehab facility that when Mia goes to the rehab facility, she meets Chantel, and I also am paralyzed from the waist down. So I got to learn to ballroom dance in a wheelchair, and it was an amazing working experience for me during Musical Chair.
How did you become involved with the production?
I auditioned at the old art of auditioning. And a funny story is when I had a callback, for Musical Chairs, and the director, Susan Seidelman, was only seeing actors one day, and I was coming back from the Sundance Film Festival, and this was in the winter of 2011, and there was that big snowstorm, so I actually got stranded in Chicago, and to make my callback, I had to take a plane from Chicago to Baltimore, and then a train from Baltimore to New York, and I made it with about 15 minutes to spare before they were done for the day seeing actors. I literally went across the country to get the part, and I did. So it was kind of awesome.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights?
Gosh, you know, I think a lot about this, and I think it really is about me being an American, and me being a proud American. I love this country, and I love what this country in theory stands for, and so I believe that all of our citizens are equal and should be treated equally and seen equally under the law, and we know that's not quite the case for LGBT folks, specifically for trans folks, because I'm trans and take it kind of personally. I'm discriminated against or when the laws don't necessarily accommodate the reality of my life. So my commitment really is a commitment to American values and what this country should be about, and it's a commitment to equality. And I just know from my own personal experience, so often I've been made to feel that I'm less than because I'm trans, and I don't think anyone should be made to feel less than because of who they are on a fundamental level. So I think a lot of my commitment comes out of those things.
Tell us about the GLAAD national campaign you're involved with, I Am Trans People Speak.
I love this campaign. It's also co-sponsored by the Manhattan Transgender Political Coalition. And it's really a campaign that's about telling transgender stories through a sort of really unfiltered. I just did a talk at the New School a few weeks ago, and I took a look at trans representation in mainstream media, specifically through sort of interview and TV talk show. And for the past 60 years at this point, we've been sort of getting the same story in mainstream media about who trans people are. But when we look at the lived experiences of trans people, the stories are so much richer. There's so much more diversity. And I Am Trans People Speak is about showing that diversity and showing the richness of trans experience in our work as trans people. So it's really amazing. And that's the great thing about the internet. I Am Trans People Speak, We Happy Trans, I Am From Driftwood, all video projects where people can submit and really tell their own stories in their own ways. And I think once we have trans folks and, you know, all really disenfranchised folks and marginalized people telling their stories in their own ways, then we can begin to see the rich tapestry that is the LGBT community, that is the trans community, and is the American community. So it's a really amazing people. I Am Trans People Speak folks can just Google it and go and check out the testimonial stories from other trans folks, including myself and Jennifer Finney Boylan, Ice King, Noah Lewis, among others. It's a really beautiful campaign that I'm really proud to be a part of.
What was your reaction to President Obama being reelected and gay marriage passing in Washington, Maryland, and Maine?
Gosh, I was relieved. So there was a sense of relief and excitement about the reelection. And marriage equality passing in three states, in Washington, Maine, and Maryland, the first time the citizens have voted for marriage equality, which is really, really major. And I think about the moment that Obama came out earlier this year in favor of marriage equality and the difference it made in polling among African Americans specifically. A few months before that, the majority of African Americans who were polled around marriage equality were against it. And then after the president came out in favor of it, the majority were in favor of it. It reminded me of how important leadership is. It reminded me of how important having the courage of your convictions is. I'm really, really excited. There's so much more work to be done, but I'm really, really excited, and I think we're going in the right direction in terms of equality, and that really excites me.
Now that Obama has been reelected, what would you like to see happen for LGBT civil rights?
There's a lot that needs to happen, I think, for LGBT civil rights. Back in September, I was in Washington, D.C. for the National Black Justice Coalition's leadership summit called Out on the Hill, and I met this young man, this young trans man, who he told me not to mention his name in the press, but we were talking, and he told me that he serves in the military. And so this young trans guy, he's done a couple tours in Iraq, and he was going back overseas, I think, to Afghanistan in a few months, and he proudly serves his country, and he is a trans man. And we were talking, and he said that he cannot serve openly as trans. So basically, even though all of his documentation says that he's a man, when he goes to the military, he has to pretend that he's a woman, because he's trans. So basically, the military does not acknowledge his transness. When he's serving, people see him and they see a man and they use male pronouns and they see this guy. But then sometimes his colleagues or sometimes his commanding officer will correct him and say, no, this isn't a guy, this is a girl. And I was just thinking, when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed, it was a brilliant, wonderful, amazing thing that I was really excited about, but this young man reminded me that trans people can still not serve openly in the military. And for this guy who wants to serve his country, who's proud to be an American, to have to lie about who he is really the same thing as Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So Don't Ask, Don't Tell is still happening for trans people, and so I think that's something that we really need to address in the next Obama administration. There's a lot of stuff that needs to happen on state levels, too. I live in New York State, and we still don't have a Gender Expression Non-Discrimination Act still isn't passed in New York State. And I believe that needs to happen because it's still legal to fire someone for being trans in New York State. Trans people, we know, are discriminated disproportionately in healthcare and employment, victims of violence. So we need legislation in New York State, and we need a national Employment Non-Discrimination Act, ENDA, to pass. So I'm hopeful in the next 4 years those things will happen. I'm hoping gender will pass this year in New York State. So we have so much more to do, and specifically for trans folks. I want to add that, so often there's been so many advances for gays and lesbians, and trans folks aren't quite there. When the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission ruled that trans folks are covered under Title VII earlier this year, that was a major win. So that was super exciting. So a lot of amazing things have happened for trans folks under the Obama administration, so I'm hoping more progress will happen.
LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and we continue to have numerous teens taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
I was at the Mitchell Gold and Bob Williams holiday party, and it was a benefit for the Tyler Clementi Foundation and for the Faith in America. Foundation. And we all know that Tyler Clemente took his life a few years ago as a result of anti-LGBT bullying. And so, and Tyler's parents spoke, and it was really powerful to hear from them say that we need to impart on our LGBT youth that they are not broken. And Rosie O'Donnell spoke too, and she talked about being a college freshman, you know, 32 years ago, and knowing that she was a lesbian and feeling that there was a sting on her because of that. So I think a lot about that stain, and I think about shame, and I think that so many of us as LGBT people are taught to be shameful about that and to feel like there's a stain on us because we're gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender, or we think we might be questioning whether we are. And I know for me personally, so much of the reasons why I'm still here, I tried to commit suicide when I was 11 years old because I felt there was a stain on me. I'm alive still by the grace of God, I think, but I think I'm also still alive because I have something that I love that to do, and I have something that I'm passionate, and that's passionate about, which is art, which is acting and performing. And I know that saved my life as a kid. So I would say, you know, find something that you love as a kid, something that you're passionate about, and I would encourage parents to help kids find something that they're passionate about and that they love. So even when I haven't fully believed in myself and believed that I'm beautiful and special no matter what, I believed in the love and the passion for the art that I do and the creative work that I do.
How can people get information about Musical Chairs?
For more information about Musical Chairs, you can go to musicalchairstofilm.com. And for more information about Laverne Cox, you can go to lavernecox.com or follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/LaverneCox.
What other projects are you working on?
Right now, I'm shooting a series called Orange is the New Black. I'm actually sitting in my dressing room right now at Kaufman Studios in Queens. Orange is the New Black is an original series from Netflix, which should be premiering, I think, the summer of 2013. And it's based on a memoir of the same title. And it's set in a federal women's prison. It's about Piper Chapman and her year in a women's prison and the women she meets. And I play Sophia Brissett, one of the women that she meets in prison. And that's kind of all I can say about it. It's by the creators of Weeds, Jinji Cohen, the brilliant Jinji Cohen, is the one of the creators of the show. And I'm having an amazing time. I'm learning so much. One of my goals for the year was to have a recurring role on a series, and I have reached my goal for 2012 by working on the show. And Jodie Foster directed episode 3, and episode 3 is kind of major because we find out juicy things about Sophia, my character, why she's in jail, what her life was like before she was in jail. It's kind of amazing, and I've never gotten to play a character quite like this. I'm having an amazing time. In the meantime, since Orange is the New Black doesn't come out till summer of 2013, you can read the book, Orange is the New Black, by Piper Kerman. You can order the book online and then read the book in anticipation of the series coming from Netflix, summer of 2013.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
You know, I talk about shame a lot, and I've been interested in shame a lot, and I just mentioned it when we talked about suicide, and this concept of toxic shame. And I've been taking this acting class at this place called The Studio/Acting.com here in New York City, and it was actually started by this guy named Brad Calcaterra. He's a brilliant acting coach, director, and actor himself. And actually, after Tyler Clemente's suicide a few years ago, and there was this sort of string of LGBT suicides that the public was aware, all of a sudden more aware of. We know that LGBT folks have been, you know, disproportionately committing suicide for years, but now we're more aware of it. And Brad was inspired to create this class for LGBT actors to work through their processes. And the class has changed my career as an actress and changed the way I look at myself as an actress, but it's also helped me heal a lot of the shame I've had around being trans. And I've watched a lot of people in the class heal from shame. There's not enough space, I think, in this world where we can talk about healing from shame and healing from belief systems that tell us that we're not good enough. I encourage folks to, check out the studio/acting.com and look into the Act Out class. And then also look into ways to heal, perceptions about ourselves that don't serve us, shameful perceptions, because that stuff really holds us back. And when we can begin to heal that stuff, it's amazing how freeing it can all be.